The story so far is Jesus has been nailed on a cross between two criminals, and above his head has been nailed a sign. This is the King of the Jews. And they watched him, and as he hung on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished," and then died. But Nicodemus and Joseph, they come and take Jesus' body. They place it in a tomb, and they go home, as was the Sabbath, and for them, it is finished. This journey they've been on for these past 3, perhaps 4 years, has now come to an end. The one they'd placed the hope on has died. But while the cry from the cross was, "It was finished," that's not where the story ends.
Okay, the story rolls on. And we're going to start with our narrator. So, ladies, you're heading towards the tomb. Our narrator is going to read us in.
A good man named Joseph got permission from Pilate to place Jesus' body in a tomb and gave him a burial. The next morning, some women came to the tomb, and this is what happened.
"It's good we've brought our sweet-smelling spices to the tomb."
"Yes, I miss Jesus, and I'm glad we've come here today."
The women approached the tomb, which was a cave, with stone rolled in front of the entrance. But guess what? The stone had been rolled away.
"Let's go inside."
"Oh, it's empty. There's nothing in there."
"It's a mystery. I don't understand what happened."
Suddenly, two men in shining white clothes stood before them.
"Jesus isn't here. He has been raised from death. He's alive."
"Why are you looking in the place for the dead for someone who is alive?"
"It was true. Many people saw Jesus alive and spoke to him. Jesus even ate with his friends. And Jesus said, 'All people of every nation must be told in my name to turn to God in order to be forgiven.'"
And we meet two of the ladies in our story today. The women take the focus of the story, and the women really are the focus of the resurrection story. So I want to take us there, and I want us to have a quick look at the first 10 verses of Matthew 28. Now, I not say anything untoward about the women in the scriptures. They are the heroes of the story. And they are the ones who take and carry this story on. And they're the one the story has been told about them since the time of Christ. So they're the heroes in the stories. But if you're going to tell a credible story in the ancient world, you don't use women. And in a patriarchal society, you don't use women really as the witnesses. If you're going to make up a story about the resurrection, and you want it to be believable, you want it to be real, you want it to be authentic, you don't use the ladies in the story. But guess what? As I said, the ladies are center stage in this story. They carry their story through. And that's what makes it more real and authentic and more credible, that it actually uses women in the story at this time. In 2019, we've been focusing in on Matthew's gospel. And we finish up today really on Matthew, because you're going to move to Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. But just take note in Matthew, did anyone note as we went through Matthew, did any woman ever come against Jesus? In fact, if you went in all the Gospels, is there any story of a lady coming against Jesus? No, there's not. And this is just something for you to note. And we're going to take note of the actual role the women played in the passion role. If I was to take you back to chapter 26 in Matthew's Gospel, do you know what happened at the very start of this, leading into this, his Last Supper? Before that, or at that time, what happened? There was a lady who anointed him. You remember that story? Someone poured perfume all over him, preparing him for his death and burial. It was a lady who did that. In the end of chapter 27, in 27 it says, at the end of it, in verse 55, it says, many of the ladies were there at the crucifixion. They were there actually watching from a distance, and they had followed Jesus all the way from Galilee. It tells us the name of these ladies in the next verse. It says M1, M2, and M3. Did you know that? They're not roads, they're ladies. Okay, there's Mary 1, and who is one who has been healed and delivered from demons. There's Mary 2, who is probably the mother of Jesus, and his half-brothers who he has. And then there's the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Okay, so there are the three ladies who we meet who are there at the end of 27. And there's this lady called Mary Magdalene, and that's the Mary that I talked about. And when I went to Israel, I visited a place where Mary Magdalene, Magdala, is from. And I brought you some photos. This is the uncovering of the Magdala stone. And can you see which year it's in? Can you see there? 2009. This is one of the seven first century temples that is in the land of Israel. This is one of them. And this was the first one to be discovered in Galilee. Now, when they discovered this, they found this first century temple in the region around Galilee. Guess who probably visited it? Guess who probably even was there at times hearing the teaching? Yes, the Lord Jesus probably was, and possibly at this place. Now, in a very unique discovery, they discovered this just only shallow, not very far under the soil. And the next couple of photos I'll flick you through quickly. This is the kind of church I want to preach at. It has a boat up the front, hey? Because it's on the Sea of Galilee. Now, this is a Catholic site, and you'll notice there that there's actually no Jesus on the cross. I found that quite interesting. It's a Catholic, actually, site, and we were taken on a tour by a lady, and a lady was a Mexican lady, and in the little side chapels off to the side, four quick photos I want to show you. The first one is Jesus going to two of the disciples, calling them. The second one is Jesus calling out to Peter, okay, to trust him on the water there. Third one is Jesus healing a young girl. The fourth one, if you can see the screen, is Jesus with a lady. But there's one chapel that has been dedicated to women and picking up the significant women of the scriptures and the input which they had to this story. And that is the chapel that is downstairs to this place. And this is, let me show you, there is the great actual chapel downstairs. And if you can see the photo up the front, here's a closer one of it. It's actually the woman who reached out and touched Jesus. Do you remember the story? Significant women of the scriptures. Now, I'll just take you through those photos to show you quickly. But I want to take you now to the scriptures, just verse 1 to 10, to skip through there and bounce through each verse and just take a note of a couple of things as we go. Verse 1, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. So here we have it. It's the ladies, go and have a look. It's the first day of the week. It's the Sunday. These ladies had been caring for the needs of Jesus since the time he was in Galilee. These are dedicated women, dedicated to the core and who have followed him, and even dedicated enough to actually want to honor him after his death. Now, the caliber of the ladies in Matthew is extraordinary. The caliber of the ladies in the scriptures, really. Verse 2, have a look with me. It says, there was a violent earthquake and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Did you catch that there? It was such hard work rolling back that stone. He had to have a little rest on it, so the angel sat on it after he'd done it. But there was an earthquake because in that region, there's the Syrian-African Rift, which goes from north to south, and there was a big earthquake there in the 8th century. And at cosmic events like this, we see things like darkness or earthquakes happen. In this scale, we see angels at the birth and at the resurrection announcement, and we see the stone rolled. But we'll move right on. Keep reading with me as we go. They appeared like, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Verse 5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus
who was crucified.
The angel says, don't be afraid. It's a familiar phrase that angels normally say to people and that Jesus says to people as well. And he reminds his followers, don't be afraid. Verse 6 goes on, it says, he is not here, he is risen. Can I hear an echo of that? I'll try again like you mean it. He is risen. Excellent. Getting there. He is risen, he says. He is not here, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And so they're invited to be witnesses, to view with their own eyes, to see the place where he is laid. Verse 7, he goes on to say, he's risen from the dead. Go ahead and go into Galilee and tell them. I'll read along there. Then go and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Verse 8. So, who is it? The women. The women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet full of joy. Now we catch a little bit of the women's emotions here. What were they? They were afraid yet full of joy. Well, that's a little bit tame, actually, that version I read. It's, the word is mega. Mega joy. So they're mixed emotions. They've got fear, but they've got mega joy. And I thought, as what are they afraid of? Is it because they've seen an angel? Is it about that they have to go and tell people and they're wondering about what they'll think when they get to the other followers? What is it they're afraid of? I'll leave you to ponder that. But I'll also ask you, what brings you fear in your life? Is it like the ladies? Is it the fear of losing someone? What brings you fear in your life? Is it loneliness and being lonely? Well, the women were not just scared. They actually had another emotion. They weren't just like the guards, scared to death. They had the mega joy as well. And what was the mega joy about? Well, they were coming to learn it's true. It's real. Our hopes are rising for them. And you know the last time in Matthew where there was mega joy? There was mega joy when the Magi's saw the star in chapter 2. And so here are these men with mega joy. Here are these women with mega joy. And I want to ask you, what brings you mega joy? What brings you mega joy in your life? Is it Jesus? Because if it's not the joy of Jesus, it won't last. It won't last. Okay, it'll be like the joy of having the clean tiles on the floor, ladies, or all the washing lined without it raining on it, or the joy that won't last if a relationship breaks or if a job is lost. But what brings you mega joy? If it's not Jesus, it's not going to last. And Peter says, who's a significant player in the gospel story as well, he says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, and what does he say? I need to have a look. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now he goes on to say, this is what the joy of the resurrection brings. And he goes on to say in verse 8 of 1 Peter 1, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Friends, your mega joy needs to be in Jesus, the goal of our faith, the salvation of your soul. And that's where we're called to put our joy in Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if your fears and your joys are not covered by Jesus, then as I said, they're going to fade away. If your fears aren't laid at the feet of Jesus, then they'll literally kill you. Anxiety, heart attack, stress, if your fears aren't laid at the feet of Jesus, and if your mega joy is not found at the feet of Jesus, you'll be crushed. Their joy in verse 8 was about him, and their joy is about to get a whole lot bigger. It's about to get mega joy. Have a look. Verse 8, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. And so their joy gets bigger as they're actually, and this is the new unique part to Matthew. This is the walk before the walk to Emmaus, because this is the walk of the women here. And the walk to Emmaus is over in Luke, and we're told it's one man, so we assume it the other, and culturally appropriate, is two men. And we're told in Mark that it's Mary Magdalene is the first one whom he appeared to. And so the women are the last at the crucifixion. They're the first at the tomb. They're the first to meet the risen Jesus. They are the first missionaries or sent ones commissioned by Jesus, and the first ones made and called out to announce the resurrection. And now if I had a cartoon to show you, there's a good little cartoon. I'll just describe it to you very quickly. Cartoon, think three ladies on one side, and then think a whole bunch of men on the other side, disciples. And the men say to the ladies, thanks ladies, you were first at the resurrection. You were first to see Jesus and speak to him. Thanks for that. We'll take it on from here. Why are the women? Why did he appear first to the women? Have you ever thought of that? Well, 1 Corinthians 1 gives us an insight to that. 1 Corinthians 1 tells us that God chose the weak things of the world. And God chose the weak things of the ancient world to actually shame the strong. God chose what would seem as foolish of the ancient world to shame the wise. And God chose the unschooled men of Acts, the unschooled ones, the uneducated kind of ones, to lead the early church. See, God chooses the message of the cross, which is foolishness to those that are perishing. He chooses the message of the empty tomb, which is seemingly foolishness, to show his power, and that the power is in the cross and the power is in the resurrection, not in us. The power is in Jesus, not in the persuasion of the messenger and not in the conviction or the passion of the messenger. In verse 15 of Corinthians, he says death is swallowed up in victory because of why? The risen Jesus. Death is swallowed up. And so he has mega joy in chapter 15. He can say, don't have to fear death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Now I see people among us who are living that out, who are living that out in the face of death and of serious sickness. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That comes from Jesus and the mega joy that he can give you. God chooses the weak words of seemingly weak words of women to start a global movement that would last millennium, and a movement that would move across the globe. God chooses the foolish words of you to share the message of joy and to calm fears of people. Now, is there fear with you? Is there mixed feelings? Is there fear with you? Is there mega joy with you? There may be fear as you think about going out and sharing that with others, what people might say, what relationships or what might happen to relationships if you do speak up about today and what today means to you. There may be fear, but it may be mixed with mega joy as well, because people could come to know the risen Jesus. People could come, like people around us. Our brother Jay, who has come to the Lord recently. 2 years ago, brother Michael, who came to the Lord at Easter time. And I met someone just over our weekend who 22 years ago came to the Lord at Easter time here in this building. That brings me mega joy. Does that bring you mega joy? People coming to know and believe in the risen Jesus. The instructions were to the women to go and tell. Do you trust that the power is in Jesus and his message? Weak words that can be made strong. Who are you going to tell? It's such good news, it's got to spread, doesn't it? What's the news? He is risen. Can I hear it? He is risen! Amen, he is risen. Spread the message.